Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kylan. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that your word brings life and light to us, that we are able to see how this life should be lived, but also, more importantly, see you authoring your story, even in history. And so, God, even in this cultural moment that we find ourselves in, help us to see the author of the scriptures working out salvation, even in this day, that you are still in full control. You are still the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. And so as we have the honor of being able to get into your word and to hear what you have to say to us today, Lord, we want to pray for ears that will hear, hearts that will receive, and lives that will be transformed. Father, I want to move out of the way that we directly hear from you, our King, in Jesus' name. Everyone shouted amen. All right, we're in the series called It's a Wonderful Life, and it is a wonderful life doing life with you, being here. And for those of you who are joining us online, we welcome you all. Let us know how we can pray for you on the chat. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And I wanted to take this time specifically on this Sunday, being the start of this year's NAIDOC Week, to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, specifically the Toombul people of this area, which we call Kangaroo Point. We want to acknowledge the leaders, both past, present, and emerging. And we're honored, all of us, no matter where we came from, to be here in this land that we get to call home. But it's with that we acknowledge that. I'm gonna touch on why that's important in a moment. But I think it's pertinent to also just understand the context of this week, which is important even in this cultural moment that we find ourselves in. But the title of my message today is Life Matters. Turn to somebody and encourage them and just tell them, your life matters to me. You are so beautiful. Life matters to God. Did you know that? Life really matters to him. It mattered to him so much that he would wrap his son in human flesh and let him live on this fallen planet and be crucified in order that we in this room may have life. How many of you are thankful for life in Christ this morning? How many of you are thankful that you have life because God gave you life? How many of you are thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him? How many believers do we have in the room this morning? How many believers online do we have? Will not perish, but have eternal what? Life. You have life. Turn to somebody. Tell them, get a life. Be careful now. So imagine this, okay? Go back to me from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. It's a fascinating part of the scriptures. He starts the whole story off here. And within 6 days, we see in Genesis him creating the universe, the light, the expanse of the sea, the land, all that lives on this planet and all the other planets and stars. Psalm 8 talks about how he flung the stars out of his hand. That's our God. And then on the 6th day, his magnum opus, right? He says, let us make man. The word there is humanity in the Hebrew. So it's not just males. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. How many of you know, like, if you give somebody a gift, and that gift for us is life, probably the best thing to do if you value that gift so much is to teach them how to use it. Am I right? Like, can you imagine, like, you give a 6-year-old a car? First of all, what are you doing? But, like, you don't tell people how to use whatever the gift is. You've invested so much to give them that gift, but you don't tell them this is what the gift has been purposed for. What we find here in Genesis 1 is a lot of the purpose. You're going to see some things highlighted here. Every single person in this room, I'm just amazed at the number of different nationalities and cultural backgrounds we all come from, different socioeconomic backgrounds we come from, and I'm sure online as well, you all come from different backgrounds. You are all made in the image of God Almighty. Like, we get to be made in His image. Isn't that amazing? And then the next verse says, so God created man in His own image, the image of God He created him, male and female. He created them. So what we're seeing in its immediacy right from the start is as he creates us with the purpose of dominion and to walk out in the image of God. Because if you are a believer in Christ, you carry the image of God no matter where you go. You may be the only Bible, like I said last week, that many people around you will read. And God blessed them. How many of you are blessed this morning? I mean, the mere fact that we are in Australia, we are in Queensland. It has been over 200 days since one person has died from the coronavirus. Of all the places in the world, we are blessed to be in Queensland because Queensland is the King's land. We've got half an amen from that. Come on. I'm trying, people. I'm leaning in. I need you all to lean in with me. Come on. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In other words, have kids. And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. How many of you are thankful God in His initial design of the universe gave us food? Please don't think about it right now. I'm going to get through this. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and everything that creeps on the earth. Turn to somebody, tell them, you got authority over the creeps. Everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made. And behold, it was very good. Turn to the other side, tell them, it was very good. See, of all of His creation, the other 5 days, He says it's good. But when He created you and me and gave us dominion, He says it's very good. He gave us life, and that life was very good. I'm glad you're alive this morning. Your life matters. Your life matters to God, to the point that He would give of Himself for you to have life. That even when the first man and the first woman on the planet would walk away from the design of life, God would give of Himself in order that they may still find redemption and have life. And even when we've walked away from the design of life that God has given us, He still gives us life. So it causes us to ask the serious questions. What really matters? Let's start with the fact that you really matter to God. No matter what your cultural background, no matter what place in society you find yourself in, no matter what your occupation is, no matter where you are, no matter what age you are, you matter to God. Every life matters. Life matters to God. So why is it then that I will put a statement like this on the screen and people might have different feelings about it? Like I said, we're celebrating NAIDOC Week. I would venture to say that celebration is not generally the right word. Maybe commemorate, in some circles commiserate. But no matter what, we all matter to God. It just so happens that because of the circumstances of things that have happened, there has been a funeral of which the rest of humanity has been invited to. So I've got two towels here. One is blue and one is kind of red. I'm going to put them here for those of you who are watching at home. Just, I know it's going to really wreck for those of you who are OC. It's not folded properly, Pastor Nelly. Let these be colors that represent political views, all right? Because what we will find is that these issues, if we can just agree in this room that life matters to God, we're going to go there today. Pray for your pastor, because I think it's very important in this cultural moment in time for us to address these issues, not to sweep them under the corner, under the carpet, like they don't exist. And I'm not saying that brown lives don't matter, or Asian lives don't matter, or Anglo lives don't matter. They all do. But it's in moments like this that, unfortunately, because of things that have happened in society, statements like this can kind of be jarring, even to mention in church. When I'm talking about this, I don't want you to think politics. I want you to think theology. The issue has been that when we've added a hashtag to it and put the movement, unfortunately, that has been tagged to it, and I'm fully aware that within the actual Black Lives Matter movement, it's been also dismissive of like the cultural values that we have, and even like the sanctity of marriage, of which, you know, like as Christians, we understand right from the start, he created the male and female. But unfortunately, it's been tied to a lot of that thought. When you look at and observe what the Black Lives Matter hashtag has unfortunately linked itself to, it links itself to not necessarily biblical values and views. But does that mean that black lives don't matter anymore? No, it doesn't. They still matter. To all my black people in this room, you matter to God. And I'm, as a brown brother, I'll stand for you. As a, you know, I'll stand for my white people. I'll stand for my Asian people in this room. You've got a brother in this room, in me, that will stand for you no matter what background you come from. But the issue has been, how have we needed to respond as the church, as the body of Christ? Eric Mason, a theologian based out of Philadelphia, pastor of Epiphany Christian Fellowship, he writes this about the lamentation that is needed in this hour. He says, why do I lament? The reason I lament this is because the church should have been the leader of this movement. Christians of all ethnicities should have entered their pulpits and gone to war in the fight for black lives. Both in these instances and holistically, we should have been quoting Isaiah 10 verses 1 to 3. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor rights, the poor of their rights, and withhold justice from the oppressed of the people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning, when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Our voices should be lifted in unison against the assaults on black lives. Black pastors, white pastors, Asians, Latinos, all should have spoken out. We should have hit the streets together, ringing out against injustices. Instead, we argue to minimize these events. Now we are dealing with the schism and our witness to the broader world, and which has suffered in large part because of our silence and inaction. Now, on the political side of things, you might see this. I don't, you know, like I know the cultural colors and the political colors are different in each country. You might see this as, I know I'm on the my right, your left. You might see this as more a leftist issue. And if your political leanings are more right, you might see that lives matter in terms of unborn lives. And I agree. I will fight for unborn lives as well. I am unashamedly pro-life, because I'm pro for life of any kind, because it's God's gift to us, whether black or unborn. And I know this is a kind of a courageous conversation we need to have, church, but I will stand for unborn lives. It saddens me to see, this is statistics that have come from Southern Australian Health says it's estimated that half of the pregnancies in Australia are unplanned, and that half of those are terminated. And also that between one quarter and one third of Australian women will experience an abortion in their lifetime. This wrecks my heart that this is happening in our nation. Unborn lives matter. They are literally voiceless and can't speak up for themselves. And research is beginning to show more and more about just how alive those babies are in your womb. I see in this room so many beautiful, beautiful babies. But when I think about what this says, okay, because we need to take it a step back from the decision to have an abortion to where the parents or the parent of that child was walking in order to make that decision. And hear me out, church. Hear me out, everybody online that may watch this now or later. I do not say this. In fact, I invite those of you who have wrestled with this decision, even if you have actually walked through this process, you are still welcome at Every Nation Brisbane. We compassionately receive you in our home. You are not judged. We are all sinners. But this is a beautiful place for you to be received, and we walk this out. Unfortunately, the church has distanced itself from these issues, whether it is racial injustice or whether it is, you know, walking alongside those who have walked through this valley of decision of even contemplating terminating a pregnancy. I think the church needs to take responsibility, to be honest. And as your pastor, I'm saying this and sharing this with you based out of Scripture, in order that we begin to be ones who will compassionately receive those who are walking through this, these sorts of decisions. Look, think about this for a moment. This is a statistic as well that I was handed to from Dr. Jomer. In 1971, only 7.4 births were ex-nuptial, meaning that 7.4 births that happened in this country were outside of marriage. So there was the respect and the sanctity of marriage. Compared to now, over a third of children are born outside of wedlock. And again, hear me out. We're not condemning those who have children outside of wedlock. Please come. But understand that God's perfect design, right from the start, He created them male and female to walk in the union of marriage. It even goes on to say in Genesis 2 that you leave your mother and father and cleave to your what? Wife. And that's the realm of which you procreate. You have children. That's how God designed it. And you wonder why you wrestle with the same issues. It's because we're operating out of brokenness. And God wants to heal you. And guess where people are going to find the healing, church? It's right here. We are the vessels that God wants to heal society. Not just this church, but the church all around Australia. But we're too busy just tickling your ears about how you can prosper and get that cross-shaped Ferrari that you want. Look, we need to be a people that will understand that it's not going to be some prime minister, or as the United States have now, a new president-elect. They're not my savior. Scott Morrison is not my savior. Anastasia Palaszczuk is not my savior. Joe Biden is not my savior. Jesus Christ is my savior, despite whoever seated upon the seat of authority and no matter what nation we're in. Duterte is not my savior. Yeah, I said it. Jesus Christ is my savior because He gives me life. And I'm going to be a vessel as long as I'm walking on this planet to help people find that life. That's why I live and breathe. And until you find that purpose and as to why you get to walk with those two amazing, strong legs that God has put under your hips, you need to understand that this is the reason why you're created for. The time is now not to be silent. It's about looking about where you have been put in a place of influence, whether in your workplace, whether at your school. How do I bring life and the life and restoration of Christ in this place? How do I bring gospel-shaped renewal in this space that God has called me to live in? No matter where I am, that's why God has you alive in this generation. But all that is needed for darkness to prevail is for good people like us that have been given life to say nothing, to stay silent. I love you, church. Thanks, Mark. I love you, but I owe you the truth. And I pray that you hear prophetically, this is a wake-up moment for all of us, including me as your pastor. Like, I receive this. I've been spending all week just repenting for the judgmentalism. We saw another fallen soldier, a very popular pastor. I won't say his name. Very popular pastor, globally renowned, fall prey, unfortunately, to sexual immorality within his marriage. We need to pray for our leaders. And yet, you read the feeds. Oh, there, I knew he was going to fall. Look at him. If this sort of judgmentalism is evident within the church, how will we change society when we can't even change ourselves? A house divided against itself will always, always fall apart. For those of you who are visiting for the first time, this is how we roll at Every Nation Brisbane. We love you, but we speak the truth in love. Psalm 139, biblical evidence of just how much God values life even in the womb. Look at this. For you were formed, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Like God was working. Turn to somebody, encourage them. God was working on you before the beginning of time.
Tale as old as time.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody needs to read that and get that in their spirit. Say that with me. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn to somebody and tell them, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't say, you do make me fear. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. See, the issue is everybody, whether you your parents didn't know you were coming, is not an accident to God. You think he's tripping up in heaven going, oh, I didn't know you were going to be born on that day. He ain't tripping. He decided, like, even if your parents said, oh, yeah, you were my mistake. Man, don't receive that. You were never a mistake in the heavenly realms. God knew he was going to release his best album when you came out. Woo! Remixes. Like, when you were born, God knew. Your parents may not have known. My beautiful wife is the youngest of 8 children. And I remember her parents. Like, bless my in-laws who have gone on to be with the Lord. But I remember, like, they would tell her, we didn't know. Because there's, like, a gap, an age gap between her siblings, the 7 siblings that are older than her, and her. And so, they jokingly say, whoops. Britney Spears, whoops, I did it again. But how many of you know, and have had your life affected by what God's done through Tina? Like, that's not a mistake to God. Yeah. One of my mentors in worship was supposed to be an aborted baby, but has literally transformed and changed worship atmospheres all around the world because of his leadership as he leads people in worship. I think about thousands of lives that have come to Christ through his ministry, and I'm thinking, man, if that was aborted, if that friend of mine was aborted, we wouldn't have a lot of the songs we get to sing in church. We wouldn't have a lot of the things that have transformed in life. You are not an accident. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't say that with a picket sign outside the abortion clinic. I say that with love towards those who are contemplating even this decision that needs to be made and helping them. You know what the answer is, church? It's the church discipleship. It's us discipling and helping people to find their purpose in God and why they were created to be on the planet, to walk out in this life. I'm praying that this will come into your spirit. Check this out. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Like, God had a plan even before you could say plan, when as yet there were none of them. How many of you know unborn lives matter? That's not a political statement. That's a theological statement. But yet on this side we'll say, okay, black lives matter. And then on this side we'll say unborn lives matter. How many of you know that they both matter to God? They both matter dearly to God because life matters to God. So is it a case of, red and blue coming together and forming, like a color together that kind of looks like maroon, the color of champions, the color of the blood of Jesus, so the color of victory, even though you've got a younger team and everybody's not expecting you to win. You win just like they didn't expect Jesus to win, but he won. Sorry for all the Blues fans in here. I'm pushing that. That's not theological. That's just personal sports preferences. Come on, Maroon. So let's go back to the scripture that Kylan read at the beginning. What's our posture? How do we posture ourselves as followers of Christ? And if you're in this room or if you're watching this and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, hopefully this will help to bring rectification around your understanding, because you maybe said, oh yeah, those Christians over there, they're all right-winged, or they're all left-winged, or they're all chicken wings. You know, they just don't know what they're saying. Well, hopefully this helps you to align your thinking around what God actually says Christians should be doing and how we should be living. Because this is just one of two issues. These are just two issues of many issues, I should say. Then the king will say to those on his right, not right politically, but right in terms of righteous, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. There goes God again, blessing with food. I love our God. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Notice these words, okay? You gave me food. This is our posture. You gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. If you're here for the first time, we welcome you. If we are here for the 100th time, we welcome you. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Notice that there is a visibility within the Christianity. It's not all lip service. You actually come. You actually give. You actually visit. You actually go there. And I know with wisdom around social distancing, we need to be creative. But how many of you know, in our creativity, we serve the most creative being ever in God? Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger? And when did we welcome you? When did, you know, naked or clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison, visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, everybody say truly. Truly, I say to you, as you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. So what is God saying here through his word? As I land this message, I'm just going to give you four L's of posture. But essentially, he's talking about shortening the distance and not being afraid to walk in tension. What do I mean by that? There are people in this room that will disagree with your political opinion on non-essentials. But we don't define our walk with Christ by our political opinion. We define our political opinion around our walk with Christ through his word and through his Holy Spirit. So what are we to do? We shorten the distance and walk in the tension. Not being afraid of the tension. Because there are no thin answers to thick issues. There are people in the United States right now freaking out, thinking, oh, the world is about to end because they have a new president. And then people on the other side of the ledger, when the current president, President Trump, was elected, people freaking out, oh, no, it's the end of the world. How many of you know this happens every election? It's the end of the world. Oh, no, this person's coming into power. Oh, no, I see it, you know, like, yeah, this must be the 666 and all of this. How many of you know God's not tripping out in heaven? I need to remind the church, all right? Think about this for a moment. The most mentioned commandment in the Bible is two words. Mentioned 365 times in the Hebrew and Greek scriptures. And what's those two words? Fear not. You are commanded to not fear. If anybody's going to see the light and the hope of Jesus, they need to see it in the church, not all tripping out. Ah! We fear not. No matter who's on the throne, God's got it. Heaven is not stressed right now. So let's learn to walk through the tension. Let's learn to have conversations civilly with people that disagree with your political opinion. You remember your parents used to teach you manners? How about adulting? I'm not going to go through them all, and you can take a photo of them if you want, but the National Association of Evangelicals listed out these issues, and you'll notice they fall on either side of the political spectrum as biblical issues as to why we should be convicted around the how we express ourselves in these realms. Now, I don't have time for all of them, but all of these emerge out of just Genesis 1 to 3. You'll see them, whether it's protecting religious freedom, whether it's pursuing racial justice and reconciliation, whether it's strengthening marriages, families, and children, marriages the way God designed the marriages. I'm not afraid to say that too. Promoting just peace and restraining violence, caring for God's creation. Because, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we try to play the popularity game because we don't want to offend the other side and the other side. Jesus was so offensive that they put him on the cross. He offended both sides because he was for life and wanting to give us life. Our pastor in Boston, Pastor Adam Mabry, just wrote a new book. I highly recommend you take it. It's called Stop Taking Sides. I like the title. But he's just talking about here, humbly, we need to be holding the tension that helps us see the mystery of our sanctification. Sanctification is the process that God takes us through to be more Christ-like. And in doing so, we actually become more sanctified. So here's the four L's as I land this plane. Number one, take notes, write this down, because this is going to help you to live out your Christianity Monday to Saturday as well, no matter who you talk to, especially for those of you who have disagreements with your colleagues at work. Here's one. Oh, this is the hardest one. First L, listen. A lot of times we walk in, like, measure it. Measure the amount of times you spoke in your last conversation with somebody that comes from a different cultural background or comes from, you know, like, and you want to listen not just to respond or even react, but to understand and learn. Talk to people that are not of your ethnicity and learn from them. Learn from their experiences and understand that we are not all monoliths. You understand what I mean by monolith? I am a proud Samoan, but I am not every Samoan and my Samoan experience. You know, I can't go up to somebody who is of an indigenous background and expect every single indigenous person in Australia to have the same experience, the same cultural nuances, because there are many nations represented. And I can't do that. And it's the same for all the Pinoys in this room, the Anglos in this room. No matter where you're from, don't just say, okay, I know Nelly, so I know every single Samoan. For those of you who really know me, know that. You don't discover that, okay, he's not like this Samoan I know and this Samoan. He's just straight up weird, and I'm cool with that. Proverbs chapter 1. Here's a verse for you to stick in your mind and your heart. I've been chewing on this all week. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. We should just stop the sermon right there. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Let's flip that. Let the fool talk and decrease in learning. Here's a word of the Lord for some of us. Shh. And the one who understands, obtain guidance. Second L, learn. Learn. Don't just listen. Walk away from that unscathed and unchanged. Like, actually wrestle through those issues, because the issues are thick. They're hard. You're not going to, like, many of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to approach these awkward conversations is because they're complicated. But be willing to walk in those complicated realms. Be willing to walk with others that don't hold the same opinion, and just learn from them. Learn to understand. Because what you'll find is that many of them haven't, especially if you're a Christian here, many of them haven't experienced the gospel yet. It's the gospel that brings transformation. But rather than just going straight into preaching, try to hear the background of how they arrived at that presupposition, at that thought, at the way that they carry out their worldview. It didn't just happen overnight. Like Pantene shampoo. It doesn't happen overnight, but it will happen. But how they arrive at that presupposition, right? It's taken years, even generations before them to arrive at that place. And how dare we throw stones at them without understanding how they arrived there? Let's believe God for the grace for that to be turned around. Third L, live, okay? Don't just talk. Live alongside others. Get to walk alongside others. When I was in prison, you visited me. Like, here at this church, we have a ministry that reaches out to the prisoners in our city every week. You know, we're at this church, we have, you know, ministries that reach out to the marginalized and the poor in our city. We, you know, we have amazing campus ministry alongside Mark and Adele who are on campus with the future leaders of thought in our city, walking alongside them. We should all live and walk alongside them, not build Christian silos that distance ourselves from those awkward sometimes conversations, living alongside them. Matthew 25 says, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So when they experience God in the way that we live out and live our lives alongside others, they experience gospel transformation and change. Last one, probably guess love. Love. 1 John 4:7 and 8. Beloved brothers and sisters, John is writing to the church. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is part of God and knows God. He or she who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You want to show people your God? Love them. Love your neighbor. Like, start by literally loving your neighbor. Do your neighbors that live within the immediate vicinity of you actually know you? And do they love you? When I think about love, and I think about the tension and somebody who walked in the tension of the sides, whether political, whether economic, whether cultural, whether ethnic, Jesus stood with them all on the cross and literally laid his life down and was the one who took the point of tension to its extreme when he took upon himself that cross at Calvary. And he calls us to do the same. Jesus is very clear in Matthew 16, verse 24. If you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. That's opinions. That's your own volitions. That's your own agenda. Deny it. Carry your cross and follow me. How many of you are willing to follow Jesus this morning? This is the Jesus we get to follow. How many of you in this room are willing to say, I will follow Jesus? I will make my life count for others the way that Christ made his life count for me. And that's why I can stand here today with this conviction and love for you, church. For those of you watching online as well, there's nothing but love for you. No matter what your experience is, even if you're hearing this and you're like, man, I don't know if the church could ever love me. I've been through this and that. First of all, I want to say sorry for the judgmentalism that the church is often portrayed. The body of Christ is often portrayed. And this is the reason why we need to stop with all the chismes and the gossip and the judgmentalism. Yeah, I said it. Because you're a poor reflection of the church if you do that. James 3 talks about how our mouth will give praise in one breath and another breath cut our brothers and sisters down. That needs to stop because that's stopping the advancement of the gospel. You are a false picture of the gospel. Truth and lies will all from the same tongue. James 3 talks about how can salt, fresh spring bring forth salty water? This is a moment for repentance. And I want to lead us in this moment of repentance as we head towards a time of reflection and discussion today. I knew, church, this was going to be the hard one. I've been planning this message for about 7 months now, knowing that we need to address it, knowing that it would arrive at this point in time, close to the U.S. elections, close to our state elections, close to NAIDOC week. But this is the tension that Christ has called us to walk in. And we can choose to either stay in our holy huddles and prophesy over one another and never walk out in the prophecy, or we can actually get to living, get to learning, get to listening, and get to loving. So God, I, on behalf of Every Nation Brisbane, Lord, I want to thank you for your grace towards myself, towards everybody in this room, to everybody online, that you give us life. We don't deserve it, but you gave it to us. We did nothing to deserve your grace, your mercy towards us. But God, you are calling us to not just walk in an individualistic manner. And I pray for your forgiveness. And Lord, we just want to repent as the body of Christ. I just want to repent as a pastor for preaching a gospel that just is so individualistic that Jesus, you just become my savior for my sins rather than the one who desires for a kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. You desire for your church to transform society, and it's starting with us today. Lord, we repent from carrying out a self-centered gospel, and we want to turn towards you, the one who not only gives us individually life, but you call us as the church to be your vessels of restoration, reconciliation, and life into society. So we embrace that calling today. We embrace that calling today. And we ask, Lord, that you'll forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, if there are any ways within us that are not pleasing in your sight, same Psalm 139, Lord, We pray that you would search us, Lord, test our thoughts, and that if there is any way that is not of you within us, Lord, you would remove it far from us and teach us to walk in love with one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to throw these questions up here. And these are bold questions. Yes, you'd expect that after I've just delivered this to you, right? If Jesus is Jesus the center of your life? If not, would you like him to be? And if so, do the broken people in your life know the hope of Christ in your life? Do they know about it? So I know those are very real questions for us to discuss and reflect. So take a moment right now, and for those of you who are at home or wherever you're watching this, take a moment just to reflect and pause for that. And if you're answering the question, would you like him to be the center of your life? If you're watching at home, let us know in the comments, or you can direct message us on Facebook, and we will get our prayer team to pray with you as you make the best decision that you could ever make and following him. And the same for those of us who are in this room. Can we do that right now?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.